affected the various communities involved. This morning I was speaking with Michael Catula, the former mayor of Camel, and it was approximately 9:30 on December the 28th, 1981. First of all, Mr. Catula, could you give us a little bit about your background?
Okay, well, obviously my name is... Okay. my name, Michael J. Catula, and I've been a lifelong resident of the city of Campbell, Ohio. I graduated Campbell Memorial High School in 1957. Thereupon, I entered the United States Marine Corps and served from 1957 through 1960. Upon my discharge, I entered the then Youngstown University in the winter of 1961, completing my bachelor's requirements in the year 1966. In the meantime, I started teaching for the Youngstown Diocesan schools, namely the Byzantine Catholic Central School, and that was in 1962. Upon completion of my bachelor's requirements, I then moved to the Lowellville Local School District in 1966, where I've been employed up to the present time. In the meantime, I had gone back to Youngstown State in 1972 or thereabouts and completed my requirements for my master's degree in specifically in secondary principalship in the summer of 1980. During the 1970s, however, certain situations arose where I became interested in the political arena, and I was a successful candidate for the First Ward Councilman seat in the city of Campbell in 1972, and I served one term from 73 to 75. I ran for mayor in 1975 and won that election and served as mayor of Campbell in 1976 and 1977. Upon leaving the political area, I really didn't do too much water work at home for the wife. And in 1980, I aspired to run for the office of Board of Education in the Campbell City School District. I was successful, and I'm currently serving that term, which will expire on December 31st of 1983.
Where were you, and how did you find out about the announcement of the shutdown of the Youngstown Sheet 2 facility?
I was one of the people who were called up to the Youngstown Sheet 2 offices that morning. I believe it was September 19th, was it? Yeah. We were presented with letters. We were up in the office. I can't remember the individual's name. And the letter specifically stated what was going to happen. And we were given those letters prior to them being given to the press. We were the first ones to be notified. Present were myself, the then mayor, Struthers, Anthony Zenofani, and I believe Jack Hunter, mayor of Youngstown, was there. A number of other individuals whom I can't recall at this particular time. But as soon as we were informed, and approximately an hour later, that's when the public was informed as to shutdown of the various mills within the Campbell Works of the Youngstown Sheet 2.
How many people would you say were attended that meeting prior to the court?
Prior to the public announcement, I would say there were about, say, 8 to 10 of us there.
Were the county commissioners there?
I guess I would have to assume the county commissioners were there.
How did you first learn about the meeting? Were you called, or did somebody notify your office? Or?
Yes, I was called, and I was told that it was imperative that I be there because I had to call. I had to call my principal to ask for the day off, so mainly so that I'd be there.
What did shutdown mean to your particular city, to Campbell?
To to coin the word that I used, that I imagine I was the first one to use, if I can remember what the word now was. I can't seem to remember the word. Devastating, that's it. I knew immediately what that meant to the city of Campbell, because the majority of the plants that were being shut down were in the Campbell Works that were located within the corporate limits of the city of Campbell. It struck me immediately. First of all, was the I knew a number of Campbell residents were going to lose their jobs. Secondly, I knew what this meant to the city in terms of income taxes. Thirdly, and on a very small basis, a small percentage, but in addition to those losses, be the property taxes. I was aware that at that particular time that this would mean a loss in revenues of, I think I estimated approximately at that time of more than 50% of our annual income in the city of Campbell.
Would you be able to give us approximate percentage of job loss? I mean, I realize the property loss and so forth. What percentage?
Okay, of what we originally estimated turned out, as far as I can see, turned out to be incorrect. We estimated now there were, I believe, 5,000 jobs affected or thereabouts, and we estimated that Campbell residents affected would probably be perhaps 2,000. And this was reason at that time to almost push the panic button, try to realize 2,000 breadwinners or thereabouts would be losing their jobs. But as it turned out, and I never did get the final figure, I would say perhaps it affected 700 to 750. I was made aware later on that out of the 5,000 jobs, and I think a lot of people aren't aware, there were many people that were working at Sheet and Tube from Pennsylvania, from Newcastle, that area. So that took up quite a bit. A lot of people from Youngstown and the surrounding area. In the end, probably I would say a safe estimate would be about 600 to 800 men were affected from the city of Campbell.
Before you left your office, did you authorize or did council did you look into an impact study of how much it would actually would cost the city per se?
We did it. We attempted to do a study on our own. Now, I couldn't really give the exact figures at this time, but as I think I mentioned already, we were projecting that eventually this would mean a loss of 40% of the operating income that the city would. Did I say 40 or 60?
40.
No, I think it was 60 percent of the operating income that the city at that time was living on. And we even projected further for the school district that they would, as far as the property taxes that they collect for that, we estimated at that time they were going to lose upwards of 70% of their income. Now, I don't know if that has really come to be, but those were our initial projections. And of course, you have to understand at that time, you actually were feeling like the entire world was falling upon you. And those are about the figures we did come up with, say 50 to 60% of the city income, and the school district was going to lose 70% of its income.
After this meeting with, I think it was Ms. Lambert?
Now that I recall.
Was there any meeting immediately following that between all the mayors or the individuals who were present at that meeting? Was there a follow-up meeting that day or anything?
Not at that particular time. We just, if I recall correctly, we all kind of walked around in a daze that morning. More or less at that time, there was no congregation of the people that were present, not for a couple of days that I recall. Then Congressman Carney came into town the next day or the day after that, and we finally convened over in Strauss's, all of the county officers, And but at that time, it seemed to me that was just, it was not what are we going to do about it. It seemed at that time, really this is what upset me, was that everybody was looking at, well, what caused it? What caused it? Everybody was, this is already when the Environmental Protection Agency was being attacked and foreign steel was being attacked, and everybody was looking for someone to blame. And I was the poor individual, even though I contributed a little bit to those conversations. I was the poor individual that kept trying to yell, what are we going to do about it? You know, not so much look for who you're going to blame. It's not going to satisfy our cities just to find out who to blame. What are we going to do about this disaster that is impending? Now, the day after, now that I recall, the day after the announcement, Governor Rhodes did come into the city of Campbell. In fact, he came throughout this area. He was here in Youngstown. I recall that morning we had a session down at the Youngstown Council Chambers, and then that afternoon he came over to Campbell with myself, and we had naturally a great turnout of individuals, those that were losing their jobs, etc., retirees apparently who were concerned about their whether or not they were going to lose their retirement. But I remember a packed council chamber listening to all these things that the governor, I can't recall if he said things that he was going to do or he was there explaining what had happened. But I'm sure somewhere in there that Governor Rhodes pledged his support for the entire Mahoning Valley and the city of Campbell. Then I recall, well, at that particular time, that Monday, I called my superintendent and my board members, and I got a leave of absence from my work. And the next week and a half was quite hectic. I attended quite a number of meetings in Trumbull County, here in Mahoning County. And there we got in, there we got into the meetings, more or less, that you're talking about, with various organizations, various officers from different political subdivisions. But what amazed me is through all this time, everybody was continually looking for the blame. And nobody was really talking about what are we going to do about it, where do we go from here. And to me, this was quite disappointing. On my own, I took it upon myself within that period of time. I think I had about a week off from work, or 8 days if I recall, that I, on my own, began to form, in fact, I did form within that week, what I called a Campbell Recovery Commission, which basically, if you want to look at its format, you take a look at Castle at this particular time. My idea behind it was that I did not foresee that we were going to get any help, and we had to take it ourselves. And through the Recovery Commission and through its various committees, we were going to find out what we could do as far as our own city was concerned to begin to get it back on its feet even before it started to lose its income. And unfortunately, that the Campbell Recovery Commission was allowed to terminate after I had left office. That following November, I lost the election, and I never heard anything about the Campbell Recovery Commission again. In its place, I assume Caslo came.
Could we back up a step?
Sure.
The meeting took place on September 23rd that Congressman Carney, I guess convened would probably be the best word. You mentioned your frustration with the fact that everybody seemed to be looking for a scapegoat.
Right.
Okay. Did anywhere along the line, did they finally address your issue? I mean, I'm just trying to say, we have to do. In other words, with that, did the second meeting took place, I think it was October 11th. Mm-hmm. Is that a follow-up to what was being voiced because of your concerns? I believe Mr. Shepherd from Studebaker were brought in for the second meeting. I'm not clear whether you attended that meeting, but
I don't recall now. When was this meeting?
That was October the 11th.
Where did it convene?
Higbee's.
Higbee's. No, okay. I wasn't there.
Okay, so the first meeting, You came away with the impression that nothing really was going to get done, that people were just looking at, you know, who was to blame rather than
right. This is right, and there were even some meetings in Pittsburgh. Excuse me if I forget the names of all
right.
of these things,
yeah.
because it's been
there were a lot of
right. It's only been 4 years ago or 5 years ago, whatever it is. But in the meantime, more or less, I've forgotten a lot. But again, I had those meetings. I know what that was. The Steel
Communities Coalition.
Yeah, Steel Communities Coalition, right. And again, there they were looking for reasons that caused. And in fact, I don't know. I guess just being outspoken, or at least saying what I was happened to have in my mind at the time. I remember I was booed down there by a number of mayors and officers of various counties from throughout this whole northeastern area when everybody was looking to foreign steel and to the EPA, and I said, I asked if anybody is going to bother to investigate the cost of employment over the last 20 years that may have caused this, and actually there were a lot of union people there. They appreciated it. I brought up the idea of raises that had been given over the last 20 years, benefits, and what they were costing the companies, and could this perhaps be a one of the reasons why I was trying to tell them was there's no one reason why the mills closed down. They're closed, and it's better. I said I just added that in there. I said you're talking about all these other things to blame. I'm just adding one more if you want to look at it that way. Once they booed me, I just shut my mouth. So
there was speculation, and I've heard it from various supporters, but nobody's been able to pin it down, that there was a Japanese delegation that went through the Sheet and Tube properties either a week before or somewhere during that period.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have knowledge of that? And if so, do you know who was involved, what company, or the people involved?
I can't remember the name of the company, but there was. Say a story that this was so, and Mayor Hunter became quite involved in that, and he and a certain number of people were supposed to be taking a trip to Japan to check this out, and we had a meeting in the mayor's office at that time, which included myself, Mr. Senafani, and the Youngstown City Council were present. And it was at that time, more or less upon the insistence of the Youngstown City Council, that Mayor Hunter and whoever else he was supposed to go with include in his entourage the Mayor of Campbell and the Mayor of Struthers, being that we were the hardest hit by the whole thing. And it seems that when this happened, that's when everything fell through, because that whole day, I recall, we went through the process of getting our passports and so on, getting packed and what have you. We were supposed to leave the next morning. And I got in contact, this is where I think the politics came in at the time. I don't know to this day whether, if you recall, I said it was a story. I don't know to this day whether it actually occurred or not, or whether it was a political ploy on somebody's part. And I don't want to mention any names, but I know as soon as Mayor Safoni and myself were included in the group that was supposed to go to Japan, it seemingly fell through by that night. I recall a conversation with Mr. Hunter, which wasn't a very nice conversation, because in the meantime I had been in contact with some other public officials, and I was being warned that what the papers are saying and what Mayor Hunter are saying are not necessarily true, and it could be just something that's political. And so he and I had a little heated discussion, I won't say argument, about it. And I guess I was getting the point across to him that I wasn't trusting everything he was saying, and this seemed to cool him a little bit. But at any rate, by that evening around midnight, the trip was off.
Now, was I just so I can, if I'm, these dates right, I just want to kind of
try to put them in frame. I had listed Sunday, October the 2nd, it was 7 a.m. meeting. Is that?
Yes, that was the one, yes.
Mayor Hunter, when I interviewed him, implied that there was a Frank Coughlin, I think his name was, from Boyshire or something like that?
Yeah, it's Boyshire.
Boyshire?
That was the name of the outfit.
Now, was that the outfit that was supposedly had a lot of interest?
Yes, Boyshire Industries. Frank Coughlin or Coughlin, I never met. He was not present when we had those meetings, my recollection. There were members of the press there. One in particular was, he still works for a sheet, for the Vindicator. I can't remember his name right off the bat. Younger fellow. And he still writes Byland every once in a while. I can't remember.
Ponzio?
No.
They had about four. They had Peskin, Ponzio, well, Jackson, of course, he's an old fellow.
Who was this? Who was that third one?
Klingon Jackson?
No, it wasn't Klingon.
It's hard to say because they had a bunch of people they threw on the stories. Anyway.
One in particular that I recall, he was the younger one. If I see his name,
your impression, though, was that it may have not been, in fact, what it was presented.
Well, my initial impression was that it was true, but then I was, as I say, throughout the day, I was being contacted by various people. Well, first of all, I think the suspicion was thrown upon the whole thing by the Youngstown City Council. It was very obvious that the sitting in that meeting, that the councilmen were not believing their mayor, that everything he was saying and reporting was true, and you could very well see that there was no trust whatsoever. I think this is the reason. In fact, the then councilman, president of council, Emmanuel Katsoulis, he was the one that insisted that the mayors of the two neighboring communities also take this trip. And it was there that, now, Mayor Hunter did, in fact, agree to it at the meeting, but it just seemed to me like the whole attitude changed from a positive to a very negative atmosphere. And I know I spent most of the day with the Youngstown City Councilman, and there were remarks made, you know, you can't trust him. He's just trying to do something political and so on, and we have to keep an eye out for him. And they even appointed a Youngstown councilman, if I recall, one or two to go along with us. And it might, I don't recall exactly, it could have been Mike Krogan, but I'm not certain. But I think they also delegated one councilman to go along on a trip. I could be incorrect, but there's a possibility there.
Can I maybe press you about the people that were telling you that outside of Youngstown City Council, mm-hmm. That perhaps this whole thing did further investigation or was a little bit questionable. Were these labor people, or could you identify any of them without?
No, they weren't labor people. I didn't talk to any labor people on that particular day. I know I was in contact with Congressman Carney. On that day, I was talking a good part of the day with Mayor Senafani from Struthers. And I wouldn't go very far beyond that, other than talking with my officials back in the city of Campbell. I believe we had a special meeting that night, too. Not a special council meeting, but we called together the council to bring them up to date on the events that were happening in my upcoming trip, and you know what the purposes were and so on. But other than that, as I say, I just got the feeling, after it was decided we were going, I got the feeling that there was just an atmosphere of distrust, and I didn't know really what was going on or who to believe. Yeah. Let's just put it that way.
Were your apprehensions shared, or were they kind of? I'm trying to find the right word. When you talked to Congressman Carney and you talked to Mayor Senafani, did they echo the same kind of concerns that you had?
Yes, I would say generally, I would say that Congressman Carney didn't trust everything that the mayor was saying. Mayor Senafani and I, we were almost like the tag-alongs here. We didn't really know because we didn't know what was really going on as far as the whole situation was concerned. Because let's say, you know, we were the so-called minor leaguers in the big league park. And you know, we were more or less both Mayor Senafani and myself, I believe. We felt we have to be cautious. We have to watch out for are we to be used in this, you know, and what have you. And nobody could figure out in the end what in the world it was that Mayor Hunter wanted to do, and exactly what he had in the works. And you know, I can recall a conversation with him. In fact, he said that you know, he said none of this was supposed to let out. I can't remember the exact circumstances, but I recall in my conversation with him over the phone that when he told me that that they were backing out, is that they had people around here who had listening devices, and either listening devices listening to people's conversations, or they were tuned into all the radio stations or something like that. And one of the so-called representatives from the Boshai Industries didn't want this. And when it started to hit the news media, and supposedly, people listening in on conversations or what have you, this is when they backed out. This is when he told me that the trip was off.
Who did he imply was...
The people from Boshai Industries. He said, I recall that he said that there were people... They had people in this area who were keeping an eye on this, so to speak, and it more or less boiled down to, you know, maybe something can come out of this if we do what they say and we do it the way they want us to do it. And one of the stipulations was that you just can't blast this all over the newspapers and the news media and talk to the reporters about it and so on. And this is exactly what was happening. In fact, this didn't make sense to me because the very morning that we had that meeting, the Sunday paper had it in big headlines, I recall. And but this was part of the reason given to me for why the trip was canceled and the whole deal was off, because they didn't like the way this thing was being publicized and what people were saying already.
Well, if the point of it was to be quiet, even if it was in a paper, which obviously it was. Mm-hmm. There were reporters present at that meeting. It seemed to be kind of the anti-purpose. You know,
yeah, right. Yeah. Well, this is. See, these are some of the things that I mean, to the very day, I'd have to say that I don't know if this was a reality or not. I don't know if it was just a big pun, or whether it was a matter of fact that there were people who, you know, were interested in coming in. Because I never met one of them that represented this Boshai Industries. I was strictly going by the word of Mayor Hunter.
Who comprised, we'll leave that, the Camel Recovery Commission?
Okay. Now, that's another thing I have to dig back in my memory. I set up the format for it. I actually wanted to have no official part in it, even though I was trying to organize it. And I more or less just set it up as a main body, you know, interested individuals, businessmen, what have you, from the city of Campbell, comprising a main body, and then split it off into various committees. For example, one committee to actually take a look at our financial situation, the way it's going to be in the future, project what we're actually going to rise in losses. Another group, they were to take the city zoning ordinances and the layout of the city and look for lands that would be available for commercial establishments to bring in other industries already. A third committee was to investigate other industries, try to go out and find out who you might be interested in coming into the city of Campbell and establishing a business. Even a fourth committee, more or less like a committee, was the go-between between the entire commission and the city council, because in the end, the city council would be the body that would have to pass whatever legislation had to be passed as far as rezoning or tax breaks or whatever. You know, at that time, we were thinking of a lot of things. Now, unfortunately, and I say this truthfully, and really I couldn't care less who would ever listen to this, unfortunately, the politics got involved again. Now, my idea was an ideal, what this commission should do and actually who it should be comprised of. My main thought was that neither I nor any city councilman, give or take one or two who were businessmen, had any idea of the business world. And my idea was to involve the businessmen of the city of Campbell, because I felt they had more know-how than any of us. But it didn't work out that way. We had a lot of interested citizens, which was fine, which I accepted. But in my own personal estimation, probably 80% of these citizens were not qualified to do things that, ideally speaking, I felt this commission should do. You had, naturally, you had a lot of steel workers who were just going to lose their jobs. Now, nothing really derogatory about the steel men, but they are members of the force of labor. What we're talking about is something, you know, above that. We had retirees, people who had retired, who apparently, as I said before, probably maybe because they were anxious to find out if they were going to lose their retirement benefits, they also. But the main thing I think that really disturbing was the councilman of the city of Campbell. They wanted to have something to do with it. And in my estimation, they had enough to do without getting involved in that. But in the end, I have to say an election was upcoming at the time, and that city council and I did not get along for the 2 years I was the mayor. But in an attempt to appease them, I gave the city councilman the positions of the chairman of the various subcommittees, which I think discouraged a lot of people from actually participating in that in the recovery commission. I think it more or less scared away potential businessmen members, because most everybody is aware of the political situation in Campbell, and as soon as they saw that I appointed various councilmen as committee chairman, they figured it was going to be nothing but a political football, and so they stayed away. And I think because of that, we got off on the wrong foot. You had councilmen who were aspiring for various positions, re-election, and I know a few in particular that already had their sights on my job, who wanted to have part of the limelight. It seems there were a lot of internal jealousies. They didn't like the idea of me getting all the publicity. But that's the way it is in Campbell politics. And so I gave in, which maybe at that time I shouldn't have, but I felt I had to at that time to at least get it off the ground. I felt that maybe in the ensuing months that some of the councilmen would eventually admit that, I can't handle it, I have too many other things to do, and they would drop out, and then I would start putting other people in their place. But it never came to be, because that November I lost my election.
What was the name of the governing body? Did you have an executive committee? And if so, who comprised the name?
I'm trying to reach back into my memory for this. The governing body would be a number, well, it would have to involve all of these committee chairmen of these subcommittees, plus representatives from the main body of interested citizens. This is basically it. That was the so-called governing body. As I say, we're talking about something that was in its embryonic stage before, it became defunct before it ever became functional. And if I recall correctly, this was eventually going to be the so-called executive committee. All the chairman of the subcommittees, plus members elected at large by the body, say five more. So your committee would have consisted of however many subcommittee men there were, or your executive committee, let's say 10 for a round figure, plus five at-large members elected by the body, then you would have had a 15-member committee.
The development of Caslow, first of all, was it in, even though it didn't have an official, it wasn't funded, I guess, until after your administration was out of office. I suppose, A, were you calling yourself Caslow, and how did those meetings come to be, and how did,
That I haven't the slightest idea. All I can recall from Caslow is my talks with the then state representative, George Tadlock. And all I ever got at that time was quote, we have something in the works. Now, this was, Caslow did not come about, as you mentioned, until quite a while after I'd left office. And I apparently, Mr. Tadlock, who I know this was his brainchild, this is what he was, what he had in mind when he told me that. And that's about all I could tell you about Caslow, really.
Yeah. He didn't go into the detail. I mean, it seemed a little odd that here you were the mayor of a community that was impacted heavily.
That's politics. A man won't share his ideas with somebody else who might be able to use them. And whereas, you see, that's where I guess maybe that was my big mistake. Maybe I should have shut my mouth too, But, I mean, if we take it over the years that came after, no. Not to be derogatory to Mr. Tadlock either. I believe he firmly felt that his idea of the organization of Caslow would indeed be an organization that would truly help this community. I know for a fact at the present time that Mr. Tadlock is very disappointed in the way it turned out. His brainchild has been turned into a political monster.
In the effect that it's how? I mean, in what respect?
Okay, yeah, they've received their grants and so on to keep themselves going, but he just feels that it has become a political football team, being used by certain individuals of whom I have the slightest idea, for the purpose of people keeping their jobs. It's become a bureaucracy in itself. For example, it's no longer actually Caslow. It's no longer Campbell, Struthers, and Lowellville. They've included other political subdivisions. Their executive committee has become so large that the cities of Campbell, Struthers, and Lowellville, even if they voted as a block, would not have enough votes on that executive committee to help their own cities. You see, Well, I can't really tell you who is on that board at this particular time, but I know it's spread throughout the county.
They've added Poland, I think.
Poland Township is one of them. I don't know if they've included other areas of Mahoning County, but I think what I'm getting at is I think the executive committee consists of 25 members now, and when you take the combined votes of Campbell, Struthers, and Lowellville members, I think you only have 5 votes, you see? So, well, that's one thing. And then the other thing is, and I'm sure you've heard about it, that is seemingly, Caslow is not helping the city that has been hit the hardest. Now, it's come to pass, and I firmly believe this, even though I believed otherwise at the time, that
Struthers actually wasn't hit as badly as Campbell. Now, maybe people in Struthers, a comparable number, lost their jobs. But as far as the city income was concerned, yes, there was an effect. I don't think an effect much more than maybe 20-30% of their total income was being affected, because there only a small portion of those mills that were shut down were within the corporate boundaries of the city of Struthers. Far and large, it was all in the city of Campbell. Even though they call it the Campbell Works, it's not all in the city of Campbell. Struthers kept the coke plant. The coke plant remained open. And so what they lost was just that mining area. Now, so what it boils down to, and what I honestly feel, is, okay, Struthers wasn't hit that hard, and I submit at this time, I could be incorrect, but I think Struthers is better off financially today, 1981, they were in 1977 or 1978 after the mills closed down. Because Caslow, they opened that industrial park down there. They brought in a couple of new industries. I don't know the exact figure of how many people are employed, but I know that the city of Struthers and the school district of Struthers are naturally gained through income tax, through property tax, and so on. And there's a lot of ill feeling because of that, especially in the city of Campbell. Now, if you recall, I just aspired to the office of mayor again this past year. I was unsuccessful. But one of the things I truly had in my mind was that I was going to go down there and to Caslow and address them with some of these things that I've given you already. And if I didn't receive any satisfaction, I was going to pull the city of Campbell out of it.
Okay, what is your impression, though, of George Tablack's here? Your disappointment would be in the fact that the impact area has shifted. In other words, the group that originally should have, Campbell, Struthers, and Lowellville, which should have had the commanding vote, has been watered down.
Yes.
And you see a kind of divergence from that into, other areas.
Right.
That's your main problem.
Absolutely right. I think your concentration should have been on the impacted cities, and it seems like Struthers is being taken care of and nobody else.
During the period of time between the shutdown and the time you left office, did you ever meet with George Wilson?
No, I've never. I only met him one time, and that was just recently within the last year.
Mm-hmm. Were there any people from the state that contacted you prior to the election, I assume probably, about anything similar to Castle other than Mr. Tablack?
Not from the state. I did meet with, I can't even remember who they were now, from the federal government. But that was just a little meeting that took place in Campbell.
Okay. Were they EDA people?
I couldn't recall. I couldn't tell you.
But
anyway, no, nobody ever contacted me in regards to anything on that matter.
I suppose the one question everybody can look back on and maybe speculate on, is there anything that you would have done differently had you to do it all over again?
You mean as far as the entire
anything that took place,
No, actually, I thought I was handling it very well. I mean, even with the negatives, some of which I mentioned, some of the things I ran into, I thought I did a hell of a job in the 8 days that I had to work on it and continued to work on it. But I admittedly, obviously, after I'd lost my election, which was by 170 votes, if I recall correctly, I myself had lost interest because you have that feeling, well, apparently my ideas weren't good enough, the people didn't want to hear it.
Should the communities perhaps have known that this was coming. I mean, everybody said it was a great shock, and it must have been traumatic, you know, 5,000 jobs all of a sudden wiped out. But weren't there any danger signs, anything that I mean, I realize that you weren't there. The mayor's office long enough to have seen it progress for, you know, say 10 years or something. But do you think that some of the criticism, probably the best way to put it, was some of the criticism that was put forward against, well, specifically Youngstown, but some of the other communities about there were reports and the information was there and they should have seen it coming?
I don't know. And to tell you the truth, you have to start somewhere, and apparently that decision had just been made. Now, in the hierarchy of the steel industry, you know, Lord knows that's a different world. We don't understand what goes on there. We don't know what those people talk about. And I will give them the credit for knowing a lot more about that than any of us. Perhaps they projected that eventually the mills would shut down, but I really don't think that's what it was. Maybe there were a few people that were privy to that information. But what would it have done to say, let you know a year ahead of time? Because I think in our area, we're so spoiled, we'd have never believed it anyway. We wouldn't have believed it until the first people started getting laid off. One trouble with those of us that live in this area, we have lived in a dream world. A dream world of with the sheet and tubes always going to be there. You know, we don't have to worry about it. In fact, that's why I guess we've all, in our ways, have become selfish. Because we felt, especially in the city of Campbell, we had it made. Those mills are never going to shut down. Who could comprehend the shutdown of such a great complex? And if we were told 2 years ahead of time, and there were, I never heard them myself personally, you know, from any official, but I heard it through rumor, through discussions of steelworks and so on, you know, the possibility of the mill shutting down in the future. But as I said, who would have believed it anyway? Nobody.
Nobody
would have taken steps to try to prevent it.
One of the things that people point to was, I believe it was 1969, the merger that took place.
Well, yes, that argument was that we lost our local control, and therefore that's why it happened. See, again, that's all that's doing is trying to put the blame somewhere. That's not solving the problem. To me, that has nothing to do with, you know, okay, they blame the Likes Corporation for having interest in ship. Hey, I try to, Likes Corporation couldn't care less. You know, who are you to think that they are going to hold you in such high esteem that they're going to do anything to you? I said, they're out to make a dollar too, and if they're making a dollar somewhere else, they're selling this place if they're not making a dollar. And it wasn't so much that they weren't making a profit, they were making a profit. But I think they weren't making enough profit to justify what they were throwing into the place. So they got rid of it, like any businessman would. If you went into a business venture and you were putting in, say, $100 and you were only getting $110 back after a year, you'd say, well, what the heck, I'm doing all this for 10 bucks. So you pawn it off on somebody else. Again, I say, those people industrial hierarchy, they think so much differently from the way we do. And who do we think we are that they should be looking at? You know, we're nothing. And this is what I try to tell people. Well, I've got a lot of steelworks men for that, too. I don't think the takeover by Likes really, it could have had some effect on what eventually happened. I think, myself personally, what happened was it had the works not for 5 years or 10 years or 15. To those, again, I go back to those who knew way up there, way up in God's country. They knew this was eventually coming. They're the experts. They're the experts in projection and steel output and imports and everything else. And I lost track of what I was saying now.
Well, why they didn't care about, you know, the corporate people not being concerned about what.
Yeah, because they don't. Those are people that are not concerned with with the people themselves at work. They're concerned with this mill here, that plant there. This, what's this bringing in? What's that bring in? You know, it's a massive conglomeration, and they're just not concerned with, you know, the impact it has on a city or the people that live within it or the people that are losing their jobs and what have you. There probably is some concern. I think U.S. Steel has been the best in following up after they've closed down an area. They seem to be the one corporation that I have noticed that they do try to go back and help those people that they affected. But you know, other than that, you know, I just don't think that it mattered to them.
There are two proposals that came out during a period of the following the shutdown after you left office, but I'd still kind of like to get your reaction to it. One of those was the proposal put forward by the Ecumenical Coalition concerning the employee stock ownership program.
I was there at the beginning of that. Yeah.
Well, first of all, what was your involvement and what did you see that as a feasible venture?
This idea came up with my Camel Recovery Commission. I take that back. That was not Camel Recovery. That was at a community meeting we had. I think that meeting took place the Sunday following, I think it was a Sunday afternoon, either one or two Sundays after the mills, the announcement. And I have a funny little story to tell you about that because, again, politics gets involved. We were in the midst of an election, and we had certain individuals that worked for various offices, and one individual came to me, and this is, believe it or not, this is how it happens. He wanted me to announce the idea. He wanted me to put forth the idea of employee ownership, but he wanted it definitely stated that it was his idea. He was an aspirant to a political office. So, and he wanted to get his foot in the door before somebody else who he probably had knowledge was going to do the same thing. So when we had the community meeting, one of the political aspirants, even before it came to me, you know, to the point where I had anything to say about what was being discussed, the other one brought it up. And you could tell, you know, there was animosity already. Oh, damn it, it was my idea and he stole it from me. And this guy was standing up there like the big preacher saying, it's my idea, this is what we should do. And all they were looking for was votes, okay? Myself, personally, when I heard this idea of community ownership or employee ownership, fine for a corporation, a small corporation that involves, you know, maybe 1,000 people, you know, a small plant somewhere. But I don't really think these people knew what they were talking about, you know, about taking such a large industrial plant and saying that we can run it ourselves. I respect the steel worker, you know. I respect everything he says he stands for and his knowledge and so on. But so help me, in my estimation, they had no idea of what they were asking for employment ownership. They would have been the first ones, for example, when they really got down to the reality of it, you know, that when they start splitting up the profit, that they would probably be making 1/4 of what they're making. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't understand the idea. How can you be a community owner and still be a member of a union? Because now you're fighting yourself. You're not only labor, you're management. You know, that's another, and just running a multi-million dollar corporation like that, it just was, to me, it was beyond their comprehension. They didn't know what they were talking about.
But the originator of the idea was a member of the Camel Council at that time?
No, he was running for an office, Board of Education office.
Oh, okay.
But again, he wanted, as a lot of them did, they wanted to be the knight in shining armor and say, here's the answer. And to me, I tell you what, I never had faith in it. I never had faith in what they were trying to do as far as employee-operated plant. As I say, on a smaller base, yes, but for the immense size of the mill we're talking about, there is no way that I can see that it could have ever worked. You've had antiquated equipment. Now, who's going to determine what's to be purchased, et cetera? That these people did not have these qualifications. They could run the machines, they could make steel, but they couldn't run the plant.
Was the person who came up with the idea also a steel worker? You're implying that they had the knowledge of steel, at least.
Well, I'm,
maybe not.
No, the person that brought up may have worked in the mill at one time.
Oh.
He may have worked, but at that particular time, he was not working in the mill. The steel workers themselves were saying, we can run the mill, but I think they were speaking strictly from terms of doing their job.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? And I can understand. I can understand their hard stand on this, because if it ever came to be, they would get down to me, to the nitty-gritty, that, you know, this steel worker who was insisting that we can own the plant and we can operate it, well, he's more or less speaking in terms of operation. When it came down to it, he would say, well, I'll do my job and you people run the upstairs. And all you're doing is creating another situation.
Right.
Because then he'd get mad at the upstairs when his paycheck went down, you see. And he'd say they were stealing money, et cetera, et cetera. But he himself would not venture up there because he's going into an area he doesn't comprehend. One that I don't even comprehend. I don't know if you can get it from how I'm speaking because half the time I don't even know what I want to say. It's just, the bottom line, as simply as I could put it, is the complex operation of that mill, you had very few people that were qualified to do it. And I don't think they were going to go out. I don't know what they were looking for. You're not going to go out and find people to run that mill for $1.50 an hour. You know, to bring these steel people in is going to cost you a big buck. Where is it going to come from? It's going to come from your own pocket because it's your mill now.
Once it came up and it was brought up there, the transition to the coalition, how did that take place?
I don't know how that took place, but I remember my disappointment when the church got involved. I don't think the clergy had any right to get involved in this. If you ask me the truth, you know, render to Caesar what is Caesar's, to God what is God's. They had their job to do. And I don't think they had any right to get involved in this, although I have no doubt the bishop was approached, and I'm just doing this on pure speculation, that by adding his name to the coalition, that it should have some force down in Washington, D.C. But my own personal opinion is they should have stayed out of it.
Were you ever invited to any of their
None.
Original meetings that led to?
None whatsoever.
Okay.
Again, by the time that took place, I was already out of it.
Well, their organizational meetings would start about October 77, or November 77.
I was already
you
out.
You were already, you know.
Yeah, I'd lost my election.
And yeah, and yeah.
I did attend, I wasn't invited to those. I was invited to Youngstown, though, Mayor Hunter, or was it? Can't remember now. See, we're getting in a transition.
Yeah, he left also at the same time you did because
yeah,
Phil Ritchley was
right.
coming in.
Phil Ritchley. I can't recall whether it was myself and Mayor Sonofani was still there. I can't recall whether it was Mayor Hunter. I think it was still Mayor Hunter who was attempting to get the, what did they call it now? The Mahoning County. I think it's still in operation.
MEDVAC? The Mahoning Valley Economic Development
Agency, right. I have sat in on a few meetings there, okay, and I'm sure Mayor Hunter was there. Mr. Ritchley started to come after he was, naturally he was going to be the new mayor. There were a couple of other people there, one county commissioner that I recall, and Mr. Miko, who was my successor, was invited, but he never attended while I went to those meetings, but that I was there for that, for those meetings, but never for this ecumenical
How many meetings approximately did you attend, and what were the subjects of those?
Well, basically the same thing. You see, at that time, you have to understand, this was an organizational period. We were trying to get something similar to the Kimmel Recovery Commission, CASFLOW. We were trying to get something going for the entire valley. We were right there on the ground level, right at the very beginning. We were just trying to organize. We knew what our goal was in mind, economic recovery. Now, I only attended, I think, two or three meetings, because by that time we were already to the end of November, beginning of December, and I knew I was going out and I would have very little say-so after that. All I could say is those three meetings were strictly organizational as to who we should include, what our goals will be, how can we acquire grants to keep this thing or get this thing off the ground, who could we hire to do the particular studies we talked about, naturally, or economic feasibility studies and so on. And that's about where I left.
Could you maybe clarify something? There has been speculation that Attorney Paul Stevens, who was Carnton Carney's aide, right, who I believe was president some of those meetings, if not all of them.
He might have been.
Okay. There seemed to be speculation that there was animosity between Mayor Hunter and Carnton Carney, in regards to their election campaign, that Mayor Hunter may have just been appointed as a token just to kind of give that show of bipartisanship, but that Attorney Stevens was supposed to actually run the show. Was that an accurate description of what's been going on?
I don't know if Attorney Stevens was running the show, but there definitely was animosity, mistrust again, if you will. I would imagine it probably still exists. Democrat, Republican, that's all. It was strictly, as far as I'm concerned, strictly party lines. So I would have to say a definite yes. There had to be some animosity. I think Mayor Hunter was honestly trying to get something off the ground. Speaking strictly politically, I would think that the animosity was there because the Democrats didn't want a Republican to start it. That's in a nutshell.
Well, there was also speculation about, what I guess I was trying to get at was there any visible or other signs that there was conflict going on?
No, they're experts at cloaking their feelings. In fact, I became quite an expert myself. I had to copy them or not survive. And none of that has changed, by the way. They in public, everybody is friendly and cordial and what have you. But in private, the real feelings come out through phone calls and secret meetings, etc. And I know they still go on today. Around the table, we're all happy, we're all aiming in one direction. It looks great for television, it looks great for the newspaper, it looks great for us, because, here are our leaders, the city leaders are doing. And you leave, hey, Mike, you want to go for a cup of coffee? Sure, okay, so you go for a cup of coffee. Now, you didn't believe a damn thing that was said in there, do you? Here's the way it actually is. This is what that son of a bitch is trying to do. And I mean, this is the way it goes. And so, as I say, I know the animosity was there. There was definitely a high feeling of mistrust between Congressman Carney and Mayor Hunter. I don't know if it was so much from the mayor as it was from the congressman, you see. And again, I say I'm strictly just getting back to party lines, strict party lines.
Well, the fact that there was an election coming up with Congressman Carney in 78, do you think that also just added, fuel to the fire?
Yes, I think this situation, a lot of people were taking advantage of. In fact, I'll tell you the truth, I felt, speaking once again politically, because in that particular position you have to always have one ear to that, I felt that the shutdown of the mills and my work that I had done between September 19th and the election date, I felt practically reassured my election. I felt I was doing a good job, as I told you before, and I felt the people would see this. However, it didn't work out for me. Now, in that line of thought, I'm saying that I think every political office holder and political aspirant were taking the shutdown of the mills and trying to use it to their own advantage, politically. And I don't think there was one that was really sincere in whatever they said to the news media or on television and so on. I don't want to be patting myself on the back, but I felt I was sincere, although behind it, I figured this is helping politically. Mm-hmm. Well, I got fooled, you see. But as I say, if it could even hit me in the back of my mind that it's helping me politically, I can imagine what these professional politicians were thinking. You know, I was only a part-time politician. And I would assume, yes, that there was Congressman Carney was already looking ahead. And that's why I said before that I think the animosity was more on his side than on Mayor Hunter's, because Mayor Hunter, he was leaving.
Yeah.
He was serving his last term, and he was getting out. So he had nothing to lose. See, he could afford to be sincere in what he was doing. But I think, yes, you're right. I think Congressman Carney might have been looking down the line to the upcoming election the following year. I might add that maybe Mr. Tablack also was doing the same thing. Because if I recall correctly, they ran against each other the following year.
Perhaps they did. The second proposal that I want to get your opinion on is the Steel Research Center that was put forward. I'm not clear if it was Mayor Richley or Medvac or who, but at least the proposal was put forward that...
I think it was Medvac, but I'm just speculating. Yeah.
Do you think that was a feasible kind of plan? Do you think that really could have worked? And did the industry need such a...
No. How could you have a research center? Here at the university, we want a research center, we build a brand new one. We don't go into an old building and renovate. See what I mean?
Yeah.
And by the time they were talking about that research center, you have to figure with every day from the day the mill shut down, it started to corrode, and each day would cost you more dollars to bring it back to life. Even today, I hear people over there in the camp talking, our esteemed political leaders, I hear words like, well, mills open up again, and I said, this guy's got to be in dreamland, where does he think he's coming from, more or less they're opposing new outfits coming in and buying one little area, my feeling is, what the hell is this guy talking about, we have to save this area when it opens up again. It's just impossible. Now, by the time they came up with their research center, the mills had already been shut down for quite a while, if I'm not mistaken. And it didn't make sense to me. Because to me, it would just simply mean an expenditure of an awful lot of money and many years of work before you ever started to realize a profit there. You'd have to tear everything down and start from scratch. And who was going to put money into something like that and why here of all places? I'm even aware, there are other situations that come become involved. The energy crisis. Who wants to build a mill up here in the north when they can go down south and save a ton of money just on energy alone? Year-round warmth. They don't have to worry about natural gas and so on. What else is there? Here we are in the, it's, and a lot of people don't look at this, and this was one of the ways that, if I go all the way back to the beginning of this interview, that meeting we had at Strauss's, when I got up to speak, people don't realize that this valley, the Mahoning Valley, is very hard to get into and get out of, especially the part of the mills that have shut down. Now, if you take a look at the map of Mahoning County and look at your interstate system, your interstates are all on the western end of the county. The mills are down here, the eastern end. So transportation is very important because, time means money in transportation. It conceivably, it could take a truck driver carrying a load of steel out of here. Well, let's put it this way. Coming in with an empty truck and loading and leaving, he could be here for a number of hours that can cost that trucking company and the company that's buying the steel money. He could come in off of any exit off of the freeway, okay? Come down Wilson Avenue or come down out of Struthers. The time it would take him to get into the plant, load up, and get out, it could amount to a number of, say, 4 or 5 hours, maybe more than that. That's just within here. Now, once he gets back out on the freeway, fine, he's on his way. But the time he spent here. And this is, I got up to say this, and again, it wasn't met with any, no hand clapping or anything. I said, why didn't the state, when they were putting the interstates in, the federal government, whoever all was involved, run a spur off of Interstate 80 through this valley, and hook up with Interstate 80 once again, where you had ramps going right down into the valley where a truck driver would come right off a ramp right into the entrance to the mill. You see? Like I say, I guess this was, in my own small way, I was trying to find a fault or a reason why. But I felt that transportation was costing too much money, to get it. And this is why I think, back to what we're talking about, you put a steel research in here, you may as well put it in the middle of a desert. Because it's not that readily accessible.
There were a couple other things that were allied. Maybe this was, I'm not clear if this was allied to the question you just raised. But somebody brought up along the line, I think it was the data, the unit train concept.
Yeah, where, they were pushing that, I remember that.
Now, would that have solved part of the problem? I mean, I realize it's not trucking, it's solving the trucking problem, but
yeah.
At least in part address.
Now, that came a while before the shutdown of the mills. We were having meetings on the unit train and on blast furnaces, too, if I recall.
Is that Calderon? Was talking about the guy from Cleveland. Maybe that was after.
Just, the concept of just running, instead of having all these blast furnaces up and down the line running, just have three or four of them running and send that, to the, okay. Would it have solved the problem? It probably would have solved the problem 25 years ago. I think by the time we actually started to talk about this, those were good ideas. Let me say that. They were good ideas that could very well have helped this valley had they been instituted years ago and not now. I think it was already a foregone conclusion by the time this idea ever came out. It was a good idea, but it just came a little too late.
Was there any aspect of this that it's really important to understand the events that took place that I've overlooked or I haven't asked you or that I should have perhaps asked you?
Is there any aspect? No. All right, we know that our area has been hit, economically. But whether or not it borders on a disaster or not anymore, I don't know. We're still here. We're still at Youngstown's here, Camp's there, Struthers is there. I think, unfortunately, the only people that really got hurt in the end were the ones that lost their jobs. I don't know how many of them have found other work. Somebody did a follow-up. I had a previous interview a few years back. And of the 5,000 workers that had lost their jobs, I think all but about 1,800 of them had found other work at the time. Now, whether it was good work, I can't tell you. I don't know. I hope my figures are correct. But I guess here we are, 4 years later now? Then that happened in 77. If there's anything that you might ask is was the impact on this valley as great as we all thought it was when it started? because it's obvious we're still surviving, which I even said the day, my first, very first interview, when I was right there at the Youngstown Sheet 2 office, they says, you know, Campbell becoming a ghost town. And I remember saying that, and I didn't think so. I think the city, people of the city of Campbell are very proud, and they will, look for alternatives other than being out of town, which we've lost, our losing, our loss of population between 1970 and 1980 is in no way significant to our loss between 1960 and 1970, or 1950 and 1960. It's not a significant loss. We've been losing on the average of 1,000 people every 10 years. And when the 1980 census came out, we'd lost approximately another 1,000 from 1970, which is no great, probably no significant value.
Yeah. Probably the importance in that statistic, though, would be that percentage of people moving out, how many were young people?
Well, now that would be significant, because obviously, now there's your long, now we're talking about your long-range effects. Okay, at the present time, there, in my estimation, there's nothing for a young person around here anymore. And there won't be until we do establish, you know, reestablish industries. However, now you get into the problem of those who are already established here versus the younger ones. If I were young at this particular time, I'll tell you the truth, I'd have gone from here a long time ago. The only thing that has kept me here is my job, and that I've made my home here. Had I been a steel worker, had I lost my job, I think I'd have done everything in my power to stay here. I think leaving would have been a last alternative. But with a young person, I think it should be completely reversed. Kids today, they have nothing left for here. They should get out. Now, that hurts us. I know. Eventually. Now, that's, we're talking down the road 50 years. How that's going to affect us then.
But the implications from the figures that you've seen, do they, were they broken down by age group, or give you some idea of?
No, I never pursued it that far, but I would have to assume the greatest loss was in young people, which again, that was happening before the mill shut down. Probably even, it will happen even more so now, because these kids just can't afford to stay around. And when I say loss from the city of Campbell, I'm not necessarily talking about leaving Campbell and going to Pennsylvania or Texas or California. A lot of our young people have just simply left Campbell, came over to Youngstown to live because their jobs are in Boardman or Austintown, or, you know, and just to get closer to work, General Motors. So I don't think that had really anything to do with the shutdown of the mill. As I say, I don't, you know, you bring up a good point. It could be significant. Off the top of my head, I don't think it would be that significant, because I know the reason why a number of them have left town, because their jobs are on the other side of the county. That's all.
Let me have you great gaze into your crystal ball. You mentioned, I believe, Lordstown facility.
Mm-hmm.
There is a facility being built, I believe, in Mexico or somewhere down in Texas.
Yeah, I've heard about it, yeah.
Does that smack of the same kind of, you know, is that going to hit us upside the head, some, you know, to use the colloquialism, somewhere down the road, do you think? Or we just set ourselves up for now? It won't be as massive, perhaps, but do you see that turning into a kind of...
No. I don't really think... the only thing there now, in the long run, I mean, again, we have to project... I don't think it'll happen for, say, 30 years. A number of reasons. It's a new plant out there. Okay. You don't have the problems out at Lordstown that you have here in the valley. Lordstown is easy to get to. Okay. It's easy to get out of. I doubt very much they have any transportation difficulties at all. The only thing that would cause that, and I say we have a way down the road, two things, honestly. Number one, the cost of operating the plant with its employees, wages and benefits and so on. Great for the employee, but he doesn't know he's strangling himself. by the possibility of just wiping out the whole thing. And then secondly, that the companies may have to, as I mentioned before, they are being forced to move south because of the high cost of maintaining the plants. And I imagine a plant being built down south has numerous advantages cost-wise, as well as employment-wise. You know, if you're talking about Mexico or southern United States, you are talking about a lot of aliens, let's put it that way, who would be probably much more willing to work for a lot less.
Well, I'd like to thank you for taking the time this morning.
Thank you. I don't know if I did you any good here, but it's hard to, you know, this comes up every once.